Tadra purat tatara kaschit. Tadra puravatara kaschit. Sakha brahmana atmavan. Sakha brahmana atmavan. Sanvayan valguna samna. Sanvayan valguna samna. Tamaha rudatim prabho. Tamaha rudatim prabho.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. My dear king, one brahmana who was an old friend of King Puranjana came to that place and began to pacify the queen with sweet words. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The appearance of an old friend in the form of a brahmana is very significant. In his paramatma feature, Krishna is the old friend of everyone. According to Vedic injunction, Krishna is sitting within the living entity side by side. According to the Shruti mantra, Dva Supana Sayuja Sakkaya, the Lord is sitting within the heart of every living entity as Surit, the best friend. The Lord is always eager to have the living entity come home, back to Godhead. Sitting with the living entity as witness, the Lord gives him all chances to enjoy himself materially. But whenever there is an opportunity, the Lord gives some good counsel and advises the living entity to abandon trying to become happy through material adjustment and instead turn his face towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender unto him. When one becomes serious to follow the mission of the spiritual master, his resolution is tantamount to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As explained before, this means meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the instructions of the spiritual master. This is technically called Vani Seva. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states in his Bhagavad Gita commentary on the verse, Vayapisayat Mika Buddhi Ekaha Kuru Nandana, Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, verse 41, that one should serve the words of the spiritual master. The disciple must stick to whatever the spiritual master orders. Simply by following on that line, one sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, appeared before the queen as a brahmana. But why didn't he appear in his original form as Sri Krishna? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that unless one is very highly elevated in loving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot see him as he is. Nonetheless, if one sticks to the principles enunciated by the spiritual master, somehow or other he is in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since the Lord is in the heart, he can advise a sincere disciple from within. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita chapter 10 verse 10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam didami buriyogam tam yena mam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. In conclusion, if a disciple is very serious to execute the mission of the spiritual master, he immediately associates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead by Vani or Vapu. This is the only secret of success in seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Instead of being eager to see the Lord in some bush of Vrindavan, while at the same time engaging in sense gratification, if one instead sticks to the principles of following the words of the spiritual master, he will see the Supreme Lord without difficulty. Srila Vilvamangal Thakur has therefore said, "If I am engaged in devotional service unto you, my dear Lord, then very easily I can perceive your presence everywhere. And as far as liberation is concerned, I think that liberation stands at my door with folding hands waiting to serve me. And all material conveniences of dharma, religiosity, artha, economic development, and karma, sense gratification, stand with her." Krishna Kanamrita, verse 107. If one is very highly advanced in devotional service, he will have no difficulty in seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one engages in the service of the spiritual master, he not only sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but attains liberation. As far as material conveniences are concerned, they automatically come, just as the maid servants of a queen follow the queen wherever she goes. Liberation is no problem for the pure devotee, and all material conveniences are simply awaiting him at all stages of life. This is a very full-on verse with an extensive purport to it. When Srila Prabhupada writes extensive purports, it has an indication that the verse is very important. And as you have heard, there are many things that are discussed in the purport. So, Brahmanda Brahmate Kona Bhagavan Ji, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Ladavish. Sometimes devotees, they may say, "When did I fall from the spiritual world?" How many times have we heard that in the course of conversation with one another? Prabhupada's reply to that was, it just isn't important. Because time immemorial is time immemorial. It is eternal time. And within time immemorial, within eternal time, there was a moment. There was a moment in time when we decided, let me try to enjoy without Krishna. Let me just see what it's like. what a journey. What a journey. We only have, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, the saintly persons, Guru, Vedas, Shastra, to inform us that that journey has been like time immemorial also in the material world. And Krishna, he is an all-loving person. He is an all-loving God. He lets us do whatever we want. We deserve. No, we don't deserve. Do we desire? Yes, we desire. That is part and parcel of who we are. Marginal energy, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Amari vangso jivaloke jiva bhuta sanatanaha Manahasastan Indriyani Prakriti Stani Kashati. That the living entities in this material world, they are marginal. They are my eternal fragmental parts. But they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. And this whole chapter is all about that particular subject, the city of nine gates. Marginal energy is an energy fragmented. We are so infinitesimal spark. Even the greatest, most powerful microscope can never perceive the size of who we are. Also, besides desiring, we are servants. Jai Ganeta, Haribu. So marginal energy is simply a combination of a personality that desires and is in the mode of servitor. And when we are in the spiritual world, that works perfectly. Perfectly. Because we desire to please Krishna, we desire to please Krishna's devotees. And we serve. That is our nature. We serve. And as a result, we can never, ever, ever, ever be happier than that. But when we try to be happier than that, we still remain as we are. We desire. And we serve. It's the same thing. But what we serve is Krishna's material energy, the inferior energy. Are we happy? No. Are we miserable? Yes. Because that is not our constitutional position. So, when we quote that sloka, Brahmanda Brahmate Kona Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prashade Pai Bhakti Lada Bij, it means that we are wandering. The soul, because he's turned his back on Krishna, trying to enjoy separately, we are wandering through unlimited universes. The Mahatattva. This is a very small universe. Only a four-headed Brahma in this universe exists, because there are only four directions. But within the Mahatattva, there are hundreds of thousands of headed Brahmas. We cannot conceive of it with these limited senses. But there are personalities, Brahmas, that have... How can we imagine it? How can we imagine a person having hundreds of thousands of heads? Because the universes have hundreds of thousands of directions. And we go from this one to that one, from this one to that one, constantly, as if in time immemorial, trying to enjoy. And Krishna has set it all up through his Purusha avatars. And Krishna is so kind. Even though he makes this gigantic playhouse for all of us to try to enjoy within that playhouse, he comes personally as the Paramatma, as our truly best friend. And Prabhupada would say that even in the most degraded bodies that we can incarnate into, Krishna's there, side by side, waiting, hoping for opportunity. Just like we've read today, Krishna waits for the opportunity. It says, sitting with a living entity as witness, the Lord gives him all chances to enjoy himself materially. But whenever there is an opportunity, Krishna takes that opportunity.
Savai Pung Shang Paradamo. Paradamo. Paradamo is the supreme Dharma. And that is where we belong. We belong in the spiritual world, not in this miserable material world. Yato Bhakti Adoksha Jay. We're talking about five liberations. In this particular purport by Srila Prabhupada, he is saying that that liberation are maidservants. What do people strive for in the material world? What are they striving for? They are striving for money, for beautiful women, or in another case, beautiful men. They want so many things. Let's look at the five liberations. Let's go through them one by one. Because at least those liberations are a lot nicer than material sense gratification. So to be liberated from material sense gratification, we have the opportunity to enjoy a liberated state. Number one, we can live within Krishna's effulgence. That is one kind of liberation. Liberation from the material world. We are in Shantaras. We are within that effulgence of Krishna. Prabhupada describes the makeup of that effulgence. Krishna says, first, part of that effulgence is Krishna. It's Krishna's effulgence. It's the effulgence. They are the rays that are emanating from its transcendental bodies within the Vaikuntha lokas. It's also the rays of the minute living entities, the marginal energy, us, that have merged into that. That is another form of effulgence. And then we have the effulgence of all the Vaikuntha planets. And they merge together to form this incredible effulgence. So to liberate oneself, to live in that effulgence, is one kind of liberation. And then we have another effulgence. You see in the material world, how many people are trying to get more and more and more money. You see, people with the most money in the material world, they will suffer the most. Because they have to leave it all behind. They can't I'm living in India now, so I'll say they can't take a paisa. Not one paisa can we take. We come into this world with absolutely nothing. Not a single bit of clothing on our backs. We come into the material world coughing, spluttering, trying to breathe. We can't do anything. We're smacked to make sure that we are present in the body. And then we try by hook or by crook to grow up, to enjoy. And ultimately, we try to earn money, more and more and more money. So Krishna says, look, give it up. Be liberated. I will give you equal wealth. And Krishna says equal wealth because he can generate as much wealth as he wants. Even if we get equal wealth, still Krishna has unlimitedly more wealth than we have. Because he's just unlimitedly providing wealth. That's his nature. He's Bhagavan. He's the possessor of all his opulences. So, if one wants to become rich, be rich in the spiritual world. Krishna will give you wealth. So don't worry about this limited amount of wealth. You come, Krishna says, enjoy unlimited wealth. And then you see, particularly in the Western world, maybe it's not so prominent yet in this part of the world. the amount of plastic surgery people are having to themselves simply to maintain their youthful appearance. Because they are ignorant. They're thinking, oh, I have money, I can afford plastic surgery, then I'll be happy. And then we see the results of plastic surgery. Sometimes, a lot of the times, more increasingly, that plastic surgery ends in disaster. And then we see the picture of the before and after. And we see that the before picture, oh, it's all right, it's okay, it's all relative, it looks all right, he looks beautiful, he looks fine. But then we see the after, and we see the mangled face and the swollen cheeks, and the eyes are all disjointed, and, you know, they push the skin, because as you get older, your skin starts to droop. Look, I'm a living example of it right here. Look at me. You didn't see me when I was 21 years old. I was a really good-looking guy. And look at me now. No hair, grey on the sides, fat, and drooping everywhere. That's a fact. So, if you don't want to see yourself aging, then get rid of all the mirrors in your house. But then that's a problem, isn't it? So, Krishna says, I will give you one more liberation. Krishna says, I will give you equal beauty. You want to be beautiful, then you can come. And you can be beautiful like me. Because all the residents in the Vaikuntha planets, they all look like Krishna. We all look like Krishna. So just see how kind Krishna is. We turn our back on Krishna. Oh, okay. So let me make them a nice playground. So he makes us this huge, gigantic playground to play in. He gives us 8,400,000 different species of life to try to enjoy in. He goes to such an extent to expand himself into Mahavishnu. Well, first Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, Prajumna. Then he expands into Mahavishnu, lies in the causal ocean, generates unlimited universes from the pores of his skin. Then he goes into a form called Garbhadaksha Vishnu. He expands into Garbhadaksha Vishnu, lying in each ocean in the bottom of the universe. Then he expands into Shiradaksha Vishnu, within the hearts of every living being that are in the Mahatattva, within the atom, within every crevice. Like when Harani Kasipu said, Prahlad Maharaj, is he here? Is he here? Is he in this pillar? And he strikes the pillar, and out comes Harani Kasipu. Krishna is everywhere, in every single atom of creation. But the Paramatma within the heart, he's constantly waiting for the opportunity. Because he loves us so much. Krishna loves us so much that he will never leave us. We see in the material world, we think we're going to be happy, we get married. Then after some time, we split up. Because it's not worked out for so many reasons. Krishna is always there. Does your partner, does he or she supply the food to eat? Oh, I will maintain you. You know, the man in the relationship, don't worry, I will maintain. But in other words, he's saying that Krishna will maintain. Because we cannot maintain independently. Whatever we get is from Krishna anyway. Anything. The air to breathe, the water to drink, the food to eat, money. They're all forms, illusory forms. Where does money come from? It's paper. Where does paper come from? It comes from the tree. If you go right back, everything exists within the basic elements of the universe. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. But then we can manipulate that energy into finer and finer things. And then if we want a relationship, so we've gone from the one liberation of merging into Krishna's effulgence, which is very beautiful. It is warm and soothing compared to living in the material world. And then we go from merging into the effulgence to equal wealth. From equal wealth, equal beauty. Equal beauty, living with Krishna, playing with him constantly, an eternal companion. All these so-called relationships in the material world, they have to end anyway. Okay, we make the best of what we can. But ultimately, they're all going to fade away. And we keep telling ourselves, when we actually take birth in the womb, and we suffer so much enclosed in a bag of skin with the umbilical cord so we can feed from the mother, and we are in such a precarious position being tightened up in that area. You can't move, can't breathe, and we're suffering so much that we pray in the womb to Krishna, please Krishna, help me, help me, help me. And Krishna appears when we're in the womb, in that dilapidated state. He comes and we pray, we put our hands together and we say, Krishna, this time, this lifetime, when I come out of the womb, I will be your eternal servant forever. Please help me, please help. And we come out of the womb and we go. It's the repeated behavior over and over and over and over again because we're forgetful. Prabhupada says the marginal energy, it's like the grain of sand at the foot of the ocean. When the tide comes in, the grain's covered. That's like being covered by the material energy. And then when the tide goes back out, it's covered by the sun. The sun shines on it. So that's like marginal energy. We're so infinitesimally small that we're covered by either or. But we have a choice, always. We always have a choice. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakaleya shanta. Krishna bhakta naishkama ata eva shanta. So, bhukti. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami. Bhukti. One is covered. One is so fallen that he takes his position in only trying to enjoy the material world. That is bhukti. Then mukti. Oh, I'm fed up of bhukti. Give me some mukti now. So mukti. He reads. This jnani. He's reading. What is the conclusion? He doesn't come to a conclusion. Bhukti, mukti. Siddhi. Oh, fed up of a bit of mukti. I've had my mukti. I want to try some siddhi. You know siddhis? Siddhis are opulences. Yogis meditate for hundreds of thousands of years to try to get siddhis. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said, Jesus Christ, within the material religions, we were talking in this purport, Prabhupada's mentioning about dharma, artha, karma, moksha. So dharma religion refers to more material religions. We look at the material religions like Christianity, Mohammedism, Judaism, Hinduism. These are all material religions simply to make us to some extent safe and fulfilling our desires while we're in the material world. So yogis, they try to have siddhi. Jesus Christ was able to walk on water. He was able to cure the sick. And it mentions, there is a Bible called the Aquarian Gospel, or the Aquarian Bible, that fills in a lot of gaps about Jesus Christ's life. And actually Jesus Christ, it is mentioned, he also lived in Puri. He also went to the temple in Puri and worshipped Jagannath. But we're not interested in material religion. We're interested in Savai Pung Sang Para Dhammo, the supreme occupation for all humanity, is that by which one can attain service to the transcendental Lord. Such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy us. So that was our original position in the spiritual world. We were a haitaki apriti hata. We were unmotivated and uninterrupted servitors of Krishna. And that's what satisfies us. Not the liberations, not having equal wealth, beautiful features, associating with Krishna, merging into the Brahman effulgence. A liberation will not satisfy us. It has to be a haitaki apratihata. It has to be unmotivated and uninterrupted service, devotional service, in order to completely satisfy us. So mukti, bhukti, siddhi, kami. Kami means reaction. We're not free from reaction. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami. Sakale ashanta. Always unhappy, unhappy, unhappy. Because it's not satisfying the marginal energy. It's not satisfying the core of who we really are in the heart. Krishna's bhakta, Krishna's servant. So, Krishna bhakta naishkama ata eva shanta. Always happy, always peaceful. And that is the position that we are striving for as Vaishnavas. So, I've already described how Krishna is so kind that he creates this make-believe world of many unlimited material universes for us to try to play in like little children. You see little children in the West when it's Christmas time. Their parents, they take them into the shops and they buy them like a little doctor's outfit or a little Barbie doll where they could pretend to be a parent or a doctor, or there's so many varieties of games for children. So similarly, we are children in the material world. So Krishna invests much energy to facilitate that. But then look at the energy he employs to try to get us out of there. The Leela Advatar, Krishna expands. Shwara Paramaha Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda, Govinda. He is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when he descends once in the day of Brahma, he comes as the Godhead. I remember when I first joined it, I was thinking, what's Godhead? Why can't they just say Krishna's the Supreme Personality of God? God is the Supreme Personality. But Prabhupada emphasizes Godhead. And the reason why he emphasizes Godhead is because when Krishna comes in his original transcendental form, within that form is every single avatar. There is the Leela Advatar, the Manvantara Advatar, the Purusha Advatar. There is the Shaktivesha Advatar. They are all within the body of Krishna. So ultimately, Krishna is the Supreme Godhead. When Krishna is in Vrindavan, and he's with his eternal consort, Srimati Radharani, that is the original Krishna. When he is with the cowherd boys, with Balaram attending the cows, that is the original Krishna. But when he's killing demons, that is not the original Krishna. Krishna has four expansions: Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. So at different times, according to different leelas, he appears in those different forms. But when he's actually in Vrindavan Dham, Raman Reti, I went with my dear friend here, Panchagoda. We went to Radhakund yesterday on his motorbike. It's very hot, you know, very dusty. And there you see, within 16 kilometers, so many bhaktas. I was saying to Panchagoda, there are more japa malas and kunti malas being sold in Radhakund than sabjis, vegetables and fruits. They don't worry about eating there so much. Everything is mala, mala, mala. Everyone calling, mala, 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 mala. Oh, I've got mala. Mala here. Mala here. Oh, have another one. Have two, three malas. You know, more kunti, more kunti. And you notice, in Radhakund, the neck beads are really like, it's like, beads, tulsi everywhere. Because that is the nature, they are very devotional. So, if we reduce everything back to essence, the essence of what we're talking about today, it's a spiritual master. Guru Krishna, Guru Krishna, Prashade Pai, Bhakti Lata Beej. I was talking at Ram Nomi and I was saying to you, whoever was present, that Srila Prabhupada came on a cargo boat, not a passenger boat. So it's very uncomfortable. And if we can just imagine for a moment being empathic, trying to see, trying to feel what it was like being on that boat, gigantic waves, when you're out deep into the ocean, sometimes with the weather changes, the ocean can become an absolute, what can I say? Who can think of one word to describe the most fearful ocean? Huh? Anyone can say anything? Ferocious, that's a good word. The most ferocious waves, swells. One minute you're down 14, 20 feet in the water, and then the swell brings you back up again above the, and up and down, up and down. You think this little boat is just going to be filled with water any minute. The waves, the huge gigantic waves around that little boat, and it would just kept floating along. And Prabhupada was on that boat, faced so much danger, two heart attacks. Nothing could deter Srila Prabhupada from coming, and as a result, Hare Krishna. Kishoriji. Just see, Prabhupada's brought Kishoriji. As a result, we are here today. What a beautiful temple this is. How beautifully it's being maintained. Everywhere you look, Krishna is there. Everywhere. By the mercy of a guru, Guru, Guru Krishna Prashade Pai Bhakti Lada Beach. So we all have the seed now. We all have the seed planted in our hearts. Now it's our job. Prabhupada was the gardener. He brought the seed to everybody. And now it's up to us. We have to become the gardener of our own seed. And we have to water the seed within the heart. Keep watering by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And what else do? We chant Hare Krishna. We worship Krishna Balaram, Radha Samsunda, Gaur-Nitai. Take one of those personalities, Balaram, or Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. What beautiful pastimes, just with one of those personalities. How many things we can read, how many wonderful pastimes have been performed. And all together, look, they're all here, all together. What a potency, how powerful to have these deities all together, worshiping them every day. Gaur Nitai, Krishna Balaram. Can you imagine how much protection we have? If anything happens to us, you think Balaram's going to stand by? And watch? Do you think he was standing by? He doesn't stand by. Balaram is watching you. He'll never let you down. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. How fortunate we are. So, are we going to make it this lifetime? Are we going to go back to Godhead this lifetime? Hands up, who wants to do that? Here we are. Who doesn't want to go back to Godhead? Well, that's your mission statement. You've made a mission statement today. My mission statement is, I want to go back to Godhead this lifetime. So usually in a mission statement, in an organization, they have a mission statement. And then, it's not just the mission statement, then that mission statement translates into detail of how you're going to achieve your mission statement. I think I'm going to leave it there. And I just wanted to say that I've been so grateful. I'm going to go back to Australia this morning, and I just wanted to say that if it wasn't for Srila Prabhupada coming to the Western world, Prabhupada stayed here for over 6-7 years preparing to go to the Western countries. So sometimes, I'm not saying everybody, but sometimes you come to the West and do some preaching, even if it's only for a month, because there they are in such forgetfulness. And if somehow or other we can plant a seed in hearts where they need to be planted, that is wonderful seva. That is wonderful service. Even by someone just taking a grain of prasadam, it means their seed has been planted. Their spiritual life begin. Vaishnav means compassion. We have to think of ourselves. We have to make sure that we fulfill our mission statement and we go back to Godhead. But what's wrong with taking a few more with us? Huh? That's good. So if there's any questions or comments, that will be nice. Prabhuji. Is the phone?
Thank you for the class. Wonderful. So we approach Guru to give us transcendental knowledge. How are we to understand when you were approaching Srila Prabhupada as your spiritual master, but he was like whipping you and also Sarabi to work, and you did this wrong, you did that wrong, and You know, how can you have peace of mind and transcendence when the guru is whipping you?
Well, I'm going to answer that this way. That, first of all, I still have all the marks. And they don't go away. The marks grow as I get older. So that reminds me. But what's the alternative? My learning in life, as my body's getting older and older, was that I wish Srila Prabhupada was present whipping me right now. Because I need to be whipped, personally. You stay complacent for one moment, and that's not good. Somehow or other, we've always got to be striving to do more, you know. So the whipping, the thunderbolt, that Prabhupada used to put on us, and honestly, 95% of my association with Prabhupada was thunderbolt and whipping. And it was tough. You know, I'd be very real with you, be very honest with you. There were moments when I thought, how much more can I handle? Honestly, I tell you, honestly speaking.
You gotta be honest.
But somehow or other, if Prabhupada just gives you a look, just a look for a moment, it means so much, just to say thank you. Prabhupada would do that. Just a look, just like that. And then, that one experience I had with Srila Prabhupada, I'm not going to talk about it because I'll start crying. I always cry when I talk about that. But that one experience I had with Srila Prabhupada, when he said to me, "This is your mercy on me," I was sitting at his feet, and his health was deteriorating, and I was sitting there, and I was chanting with little symbols, Hare Krishna, like that. And I couldn't contain myself any longer. And I just wanted to take the opportunity to say, Jai Srila Prabhupada! I just wanted to say it like that, like I meant it. It came from the core of who I am. And he looked down. He was, "John, just like you. You all have..." What's he doing? Shouting like that. And he looked and he... because he was looking like this. Looking down. And he didn't say anything, and then 10 minutes later he said, "Stop. Stop chanting." And I stopped chanting, and he looked at me and he says, "By your mercy I am living today. This is your mercy. This is your mercy. This is your mercy." 3 times. And then there was silence. And I was sitting there, and I didn't think that all the moments of being pressured and being shouted at and being told off by Srila Prabhupada for not doing things properly, I didn't think at that time that this one thing that Srila Prabhupada was saying to me compensated for everything. But now that Pancha Goda has actually asked me that question, I'm reflecting on it and I'm thinking that one moment of Srila Prabhupada saying to me what he said was worth many lifetimes of beatings and whippings, and of course we're talking metaphorically, you know. But bring it on. That's what I say. Bring it on. More and more. And then 10 minutes later, Srila Prabhupada stopped again. He said to me, "You stop chanting." Because Prabhupada, it was the way that Prabhupada used to say things, even little things like, Prabhupada wouldn't say, "Can you stop chanting?" He would say, stop chanting, like that. Stop chanting. Stop chanting. And then Prabhupada said, "You purchased a black cow. I was not eating. My body was emancipated. I have not eaten for weeks and weeks." Prabhupada looked, you've seen the pictures, he was like a skeleton with just skin around his face and body. And he says, "By drinking the cow milk from that black cow, it is maintaining, it is sustaining me. Thank you very much. That is your mercy. That is your mercy." And I've locked that in now. That's locked in there. And will be with me forever, that experience. And I'm just sharing that with you this morning. I'm leaving soon, and I thought I'd just share that moment with you all. Because for me, that was, I don't know, I don't think I'll ever have anything like that ever again. So, I hope I've answered your question anyway. Is there any more? Okay. Thank you very much for listening. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.